two full-time jobs and cannot afford to live in the city that they were born in, that they grew up in, that their families own property in. And so I hope that whether it's through the budget process or some other mechanism, that we get real about really what are we doing? Because when I see apartments that are being sold as affordable that are $1,200 for a studio, I'm like, are you kidding me? Who's that affordable for? We must do better, and we must really make sure that we're holding developers accountable. When Lightning said give developers money, I was like, are you kidding me? I think they've made enough money. I think what we should be doing is trying to figure out how we can capture some of the federal tax money breaks that these big-time investors are getting to use the Opportunity Zone downtown Portland so they can make a bucket load of more money. If we as a council can't figure out how do we capture some of that money, because all they're going to do is come in and build more expensive stuff that none of us can afford to use. And so, yes, we do have an emergency. Yes, we must do more. And yes, I vote yes on this particular measure. Thank you.
You Daly.
Well, thank you again, Mayor, and thank you to my colleagues for entertaining my proposed amendments. I look forward to further discussion. Thank you to Director Callahan and ESA and city staff and panelists today. I want to go back to the state of emergency. What we were calling for was a rent freeze. We were calling on the city to recognize that we were dealing with a man-made disaster. And while we could not advance that particular cause, I'm somewhat gratified by the actions in the state legislature to place a cap on rents, although I think it's too high, as I think everyone knows. And I would really, you know, we were also calling for the legislature to stop holding our regulatory tools hostage and give them back to us so municipalities could manage their unique challenges. And that includes rent control as well as setting just cause standards for no cause evictions. Commissioner Fish, thank you for that walk down memory lane, but I want to take us back more than 30 years when a group of powerful lobby interests in the landlord, real estate, and home building arenas pushed our legislature to ban rent control at a time when rents were relatively low and vacancy was high in Portland, setting the stage for what became open season on Oregon renters. Portland currently has the highest number of cost burden households among, let's see, six or seven different cities. It's higher than Seattle, Austin, Salt Lake City, Nashville, and Indianapolis. So it is particularly bad here, and I believe it's because, in no small part, we have not been allowed to regulate. It seems that most of my job is making up for the failures of capitalism. It is very frustrating that we rarely get around to the conversation of actually fixing the system, and most of our conversations are focused on policies that really serve as band-aids to a flawed and broken system. So I'm also looking forward to some of those conversations. You know, as a tenant advocate, the most frequent response I heard from people, other than if you can't afford it, just move, was, it's economics 101. It's all about supply and demand. Well, newsflash, we have a supply. We have an estimated 16,000 vacant apartments in the city of Portland. But we also have a gross product mismatch between the housing that was supplied and the demand that exists. So it's not Economics 101 friends. It's actually a lot more complicated than that. And that is one of the many reasons that I really hope that we pursue the possibility of a vacancy tax. I can think of few other scenarios where we have people suffering on the streets and we have people hoarding a resource that is a basic need and a human right, and we don't see those people as, I want to choose my words very carefully right now, if you were sitting on a pile of food or medicine that people needed that was otherwise going to waste, you would be seen as a monster. If you are sitting on a pile of housing that people desperately need that is otherwise going to waste, it's just business. And I don't buy that. I think I'll leave it at that. It's been a really long couple weeks, friends. And I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, as you've heard today, there continues to be a shortage of workforce and affordable housing units in the city. There are, of course, stark disparities in economic prosperity, and that was highlighted by a report that was released last week by the Portland Business Alliance. And far too many people continue to live in unsheltered conditions on our streets. During the state of housing emergency, we've been able to provide basic and emergency services expeditiously and fast-track affordable housing projects without compromising quality. Since there continues to be an urgent need for services and shelter that cater to basic human needs, I believe it's imperative that we continue to support these services through this appropriate legislative solution. Given the dependency of these actions on a formal state of emergency, the current housing state of emergency should obviously be extended for another 2 years. This extension, from a practical sense, gives us the means to continue to provide a necessary safety net where city bureaus begin work on more sustainable long-term solutions, including but not limited to the legislative proposals that would amend Title 33 under this code to allow for the permanent siting of day storage units, expeditiously allowing for temporary housing and the issuance of permits related to shelter siting, and creating an expeditious process for design review of affordable housing projects. And therefore, I support this ordinance. I also just want to be crystal clear, this ordinance is very narrow in its scope. This is one of many tools that the City of Portland has brought to bear to address both the housing issue as well as the homeless issue. In addition to the great work that we're collectively doing with the county through the Joint Office of Homeless Services, which is providing prevention services and important shelter services for those who are currently on the street, including services around behavioral health or substance abuse, and providing, of course, the transition into housing, we at the city have been working very hard. I've worked alongside my colleagues on reforms to both planning and zoning throughout the city to be able to increase the supply of units. We have been very busily reforming our permitting process. We've been expediting targeted affordable housing units. We've supported renter protections. We have developed a record number of workforce and affordable housing units through the Housing Bureau during 2018 and 2019. We're on track to again deliver record results. And, of course, we're working with our colleagues in the state legislature to support other ideas and concepts like Senate Bill 608 that could even further the supply of housing in our community. So this is one step. It's a necessary step. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. And let's see. It is 310.